On air. Online. On Twitter.
Jennifer Campbell is always on.
Unfiltered, opinionated, and ready to speak her mind at a moment's notice.
This is the Jennifer Campbell Show on 570 News and Rogers TV, Cable 20.
Now, special guest host, Jeff Pickle.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I...
Good morning. Welcome to the Jennifer Campbell Show.
I think it's funny when I drink too much. You try and change me, you can.
How's your Friday going so far? Jeff Pickle in, filling in here for Jennifer. Happy to be doing so. My Friday going absolutely fantastic. What another great morning. Great week. Especially in the mornings. Coming into work at the stupid hours that... we do here. It's nice when it's still about 18 or 19 at 4 in the morning. Makes it nice coming into work. Gets a little hot leaving work, but hey, not going to sit here and complain about that. It's been a great week in here with you. Jen will be back right here in this chair. Start Monday morning at 9:05. It's been a pleasure to be along with you this far. A little later in the show, we're going to have a fun conversation with Corey Mintz. He's a food reporter, a food columnist with the Globe and Mail. He has a new article out called "As a Society, We've Ruined the Concept of Food." It's a good, fun article. I think we're going to chat with him about that. How have we ruined food? I still like food, but it's been ruined. So we're going to chat about that a little later on. And we just heard a report from none other than Mark Douglas, the former afternoon anchor right here at 570 News. He's down in Port Dover reporting on the Friday the 13th bike extravaganza happening down there. 100,000 bikes. I'm pretty sure Mark Douglas is not, in fact, a biker, but he sounds like he's having a good time down there. Good luck getting out of there, Mark, whenever it is you wrap up that assignment and have to leave. But we'll be chatting with him a little later on in the show. But right off the top, we finished up with a provincial election not too long ago, but get ready. Soon it will be time to gear up for the municipal election in October of this year. And anyone hoping to run in that 2018 municipal election, either as a city councilor, regional chair, regional council, school board trustee, if you haven't already filed your paperwork, you've got some work to do. As of today, you have 2 weeks to officially get those forms in so you can run. 2 weeks isn't a whole lot of time. There's a couple steps you have to do. There are some new rule changes that potential candidates have to keep in mind. We're going to chat about some of those right now. So hopefully you've been pondering, you've been meaning to get it done. You plan to run in that municipal election. This is some of the information you need to know. I'm happy to be joined by Christine Tarling, the Director of Legislative Services and City Clerk with the City of Kitchener. Christine, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. It snuck up pretty quick. I think, you know, obviously we were pretty sidetracked with a lot of the provincial election stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's 2 weeks until the deadline here before the municipal. You have to file those papers municipally in order to run. I mentioned there's a few new rule changes. Do you mind going over what some of those major rule changes this year are for candidates who hope to apply to run?
Well, one of the major changes is the fact that with the exception of the school board trustees, anyone wishing to run for office municipally has to collect at least 25 signatures from eligible electors within the municipality in which they're running. So that's something that was newly introduced for the 2018 election. But in addition to that, if you are interested in running, it's important for people to know that they have to be an eligible elector within the municipality in which they're running. So in the case of Kitchener, you have to be at least 18 years of age. You have to live in Kitchener or own property here. You also have to come in with your photo ID and proof of Canadian citizenship, age, and residency. You have to complete the nomination form, which we have available online, but you have to come into City Hall and file it. You have to complete a declaration of eligibility, collect your 25 signatures, as I already said, and then pay your nomination fee.
So there are some kind of, there is some red tape to kind of get around. There are some steps to take. Why is that? Why were those changes made to the process of this time around?
Well, I think holding a public office, it's a very important responsibility. So the requirements really are in place to ensure that candidates are legally eligible and qualified to hold office. So I think that all of these requirements ensure all of that.
Yeah. Now, with these new steps, and obviously there was some other things that had to happen, you had to do prior to these new rule changes that were put in place. Is there any common mistakes you see made when people who are hoping to run, when they're looking to file their paperwork? Is there any common mistakes that you see?
Actually, we haven't really seen a lot of mistakes with respect to candidates who've come in to file. We've put a lot of information up on our website in order to help prospective candidates know exactly what it is that they have to do. And I'm noticing that a lot of people have been going to the website and they have come very well prepared to file their nomination papers.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, I'm curious because I'm looking through the, in the city of Kitchener, I've also been looking through the other cities and regionally, and it seems that there is not a whole lot of people registered at this point in time to run. I don't know, typically it seems there, are we a little bit lighter this year as far as it goes for registered candidates?
Well, at this moment, we have nominations for all the wards and all of the regional council positions, and most of the school boards. The only school board where we do not have a full slate at this point is for the Waterloo Catholic District School Board. So we have candidates in every ward, and in terms of it being lighter, I think the fact that is a rather shorter nomination period from 2014, then, yeah, I think that perhaps, some folks maybe still thinking about it. So this is why it's great to have a program like yours talking about it and reminding people that the deadline's coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we mentioned, 2 weeks today on the 27th is when the deadline is to get that paperwork done. If people are need a little help or have some questions looking for resources, is there somewhere to go? Do they ask you? Is there some other online resources where people can find some of this information and help make it a smoother process?
Well, definitely. So they can either go to our website, www.kitchener.ca/elections. They can go to www.wrvotes.com, or they can email us at electioncampaigning@kitchener.ca. So any one of those resources, they can find all the information that they need in order to file. And, of course, if they have any questions, they can always email us through that election campaigning email address, and someone will get back to them immediately.
Okay, good stuff. Absolutely. The call is out. We have 2 weeks left, and we do have all the, at least in Kitchener, all the wards are filled. I believe it's the same in Waterloo and in Cambridge, but there are a lot of wards right now across the region that just have one candidate in them. So there's some potentially easy victories to be had. So absolutely, if there's other people out there thinking of running, 2 weeks is the time. Christine, thanks so much for joining me and taking me through some of the steps that it takes to run in the upcoming municipal election.
Thanks for having me on, Jeff. I really appreciate it. And we hope to see more people file their nomination papers.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It'd be good to see a few more names in there. But thanks again for taking the time to chat this morning.
No problem. Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well. That is Christine Tarling. She is a city clerk and director of legislative services in the city of Kitchener. And I'm just going through the numbers here, looking at it. And I think the number is out of 10 wards in Kitchener, I think there is 4 that are going uncontested right now. It's one of these websites where you have to click on each individual ward to see it. Yes, at least 4. There's 4 wards. So 4 to 10 wards right now in the city of Kitchener are being uncontested. And there's an easy victory. And I believe in all of those, they are the incumbent who is the sole candidate there. In the city of Cambridge, it's quite a bit worse. There's, I believe, only 2 out of the 8 wards have any race at all. Yeah, wards 4 and wards 5, and just making sure. Yes, only 2 wards out of 8 there will be any point of even voting at all, because that's the only ones. Ward 4 and Ward 5 are the only wards that have more than one person running. So right now, wards 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, and 8 only have one person running. And again, in most cases, that is the incumbent. I do believe as well that there is 2 mayoral candidates, Doug Craig and Randy Carter. But would be nice to see, with how civically engaged the city of Cambridge is, with all the issues going on and the clear willingness to speak out about so many issues, I would think that this would be the one city that would have a number of people lining up to run as their ward councillor. But that's not the case in Cambridge right now. And the city of Waterloo is kind of right in the middle. There's one ward, the Uptown ward, which I have to check it again, has 4 candidates right now. They also have 1, 2, 3, 4. They also have 4 wards that are being uncontested right now as well. So there's quite a few easy elections to be had right now. If it was closing today, there's a lot of easy victories out there for ward councillors. So if you're out there, you're thinking of running, make it a contest. Because no one's going to show up to vote then. There's only one person running. It's an acclaimed victory. No one's going to show up and vote. Let's go beyond your civic duty and sign up. Get those paperwork in. 25 signatures. A little bit of other information you need, then you're in there. Because right now, I mean, we had a good voter turnout during the provincial election. I hope we're not just voted out. I hope we're not just, we've had enough of politics and the heart's just not in it to run municipally, because it would be a shame. It would be a shame if someone was hoping to run and wanted to run and think they could do a good job but just didn't get around to getting the paperwork done. So get out there and do it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but of course we'll be back in just moments with more of the Jennifer Campbell Show.
We crowdsource our traffic. From the bumper-to-bumper crowd surrounding you.
Real-time traffic solutions from sources across the city and you. Your traffic team is 570 News, Kitchener's breaking news, traffic, and weather station.
We are back with the Jennifer Campbell Show. In Kitchener, Cambridge, and Waterloo, there are 13 wards currently going uncontested. 13 races uncontested. That's a high number. I got an email during the break that reads, Jeff, if a person has problems filling out our nomination forms, they should not be running. Does it ever make you think, how did this person get that job if they're totally useless, as they don't qualify in the first place? These days, it seems like if you're breathing, they qualify. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. You shouldn't have too much of an issue filling out the basic paperwork. Maybe the only thing that you could use a little clarification on is the 25 signatures that you need to run. That you might need a little clarification of exactly who qualifies as a signature. But other than that, you should be able to fill out the other basic information. But some of the other things that go along with running certainly might need clarification, where it goes as far as campaign finances and endorsements, how much you can contribute, how much your spouse can contribute. This year, they've banned campaign contributions from corporations and trade unions. So I believe that is something that's new. And also, it was a much shorter period. So maybe that's what's got it. Also, when, you know, when there is another election going on, it kind of clouds the field. And honestly, people get exhausted of dealing with elections. And I'd hate if that was the case, the fact that we're electioned out and now people are kind of getting a little apathetic about the municipal elections, which have the most direct consequences over your life. That number, I said 13 uncontested wards running right now. How do you feel about that? Is that a major issue? Does that upset you, thinking that there's going to be 13 people that if no one else gets their paperwork in the next 2 weeks, they're just going to win? They're going to be potentially your elected representative if no one else can get the 25 signatures, fill out some paperwork, and get a name in? That's not very democratic. I'm curious about your thoughts. We've got a few minutes. We can maybe get a call or two in. I absolutely want to hear from you. 519-570-2545 or star 570. I'd find that pretty upsetting if to just to know that my ward was just an acclaimed victory that someone was just going to waltz in without running against anyone. You want at least to run. I'm looking here now looking for my ward again. Where did it go? I'm pretty sure my ward currently, without giving it away, has only one person running. So I'm in that boat right now too. There's only one person running in the ward that I currently live in Kitchener. And it's an incumbent who's the only person running. It's tough to knock out people who've been in there already, but certainly can be done and is done often. Got a few minutes for your call. We have Jason on the line. Jason, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi, Jeff. I hope you're aware, but the conditions that were imposed for this election by the previous Liberal government were that you needed to have 25 people within the particular ward in order to sign your nominee.
So we're losing you a little bit there, Jason. Bad connection here. We have you, or we drop you? Looks like you're dropped. From what you were saying, is what I've been saying, and hopefully I was clear about that. The 25 signatures you need is from within your own ward. I'm not sure if there was more to add to that, Jason, but yes, maybe that was what I just wasn't clear enough, that those 25 signatures you need aren't just any 25 signatures. They have to be from in your ward, and I guess they have to be people maybe on the registered voting list. See, that's the question I have. Maybe I should have cleared that up a little bit more when I had Christine on the line. Who counts as a signature for that 25 people? Anyways, I appreciate your call, Jason, and I appreciate your thoughts on this. I don't know, folks, if you're sitting there and you've been wondering, go ahead, take a look online. They have all the people currently running in each ward, and I haven't got to the townships, which I apologize. Obviously, I pulled up the city's websites right now. I'm not sure what the situation's like in the townships, but I certainly imagine it's somewhere similar, that we're not seeing too many people. There are a couple wards. I know the Uptown ward in Waterloo, I believe, has four contestants running. So that's good to see. That's going to be obviously a tough race to win. But if you're sitting on the fence, let this be the call. Let me be the one. Jeff Pickle filling in on the Jennifer Campbell Show that pushes you over the edge, says, yep, just grab that pen, grab those forms now, print them out, start knocking on doors, get those 25 signatures, you run, you win, okay? That's the other thing. You win that election on October 22nd, and you come sit right in here and chat with me.
You can do it!
You can do it. You chat with me, and we talk about how you were listening to the show, you were outraged by the fact that someone was just going to sign their name onto the dotted line, and they were going to walk into a victory, but oh, no, no, you valued listener, were called to arms. You got your name in there and you won, and now you're a city councilor. I want to have that conversation on October 23rd, the day after the election. Okay, we got to go to break. We'll be back with more of the Jennifer Campbell Show. It was doing so well there, right after this.
Most emails get buried in your inbox. 570 News breaking news alerts always get opened. Can't afford not to read them. Brought to you by Libro Credit Union. Prosper here. Sign up today at 570news.com. Now, special guest host, Jeff Pickle.
I like how the big voice describes me as special guest host. It's nice. Everyone wants to feel special, right?
Now, special guest host, Jeff Pickle.
Ah, Paul. Well done. Well done. Well, it's like I almost even had a choice in this situation. It was like, they were like, we're today, for a special little treat, we're bringing in a special guest host.
I got a couple of different versions. One doesn't say special.
I'll keep with the special.
All right.
If I haven't been clear enough. I wasn't being facetious in any way. I enjoy it. I also apologize if at the end of the last segment, I realized I may have been shouting quite aggressively into the microphone. In a happy way. Not like an aggressive, not an angry shout. It was just a passionate. I was getting fired up. And if the speaker started to blow up, my apologies. And I thank you for putting up with that. Our next segment, we're going to talk about food and the changing nature of food in our society. Food has taken on a new life and new meaning. Chefs are seen as rock stars. Restaurants aren't just places to get a meal. Very often they're architectural marvels. And we can't just eat good food somewhere. We have to be blown away in one way or another. Globe and Mail food columnist Corey Mintz goes as far to say that as a society, we have ruined the concept of food. In fact, that's the title of his latest piece. Corey joins me now. Corey, thanks so much for taking the time.
Good morning, special guest host Jeff Pickle.
I appreciate it. And now you're just also a very special, not guest host, but I guess very special guest, Corey Mintz. I appreciate you taking the time to join me. Corey, how have we ruined food as a society?
Well, we fetishized it. We built chefs up into being rock stars. And we really just removed food from the idea either of fuel or as really as artistry. You know, it's chefs have a strange kind of dichotomy when it comes to how they see themselves, and we've kind of broken into that. And in the end, after a decade, this whole thing was based on an editor asked me, like, wow, 10 years of food culture, food television, where has it brought us? And I didn't really have an answer. And at 20 years, I kind of looked back and said, you know, at this point, post-recession, we've all rebelled, and it seems like every new restaurant is either just a gimmicky carnival food or a really expensive restaurant that just serves classic French or Italian.
Right. So they're not doing anything particularly special. It's just the kind of the dressing around it is made it more expensive, but it's the same as it's always been.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to generalize, but I think that's true. I think there was a period, you know, in 2008, I was a restaurant critic for the Toronto Star, and I sat in a lot of expensive restaurants in the financial district that were empty. I mean, I was a couple times literally the only diner in the restaurant because, you know, the global recession had gutted the core clientele for those kinds of businesses. And there was a big shift in dining after that. And I think people got a little more creative and a little more adventurous in what they were willing to try, maybe because they couldn't fall back on the old sort of like, hey, I want to go out for French or Italian and order a $200 bottle of wine. And I think we went in some interesting directions. But as people with money have money again, they want what they've always wanted, which is, you know, like it's what they know and they're willing to spend the money. And I guess what sparked that column was just that I got a press release for a restaurant, and it went on and on about the marble countertops and the copper and the just every detail of the design of the place. And then I was looking for what food is served at this place, and it just said traditional Italian fare.
But a really nice marble countertops.
I'm sure it's gorgeous.
So if this change has taken place, who's to blame for this? You're talking about the you know, food network craze of rock star chefs. You talked a little bit about how tastes are changing. I guess taste in restaurant, not actually food taste. Do you say we as a society is blamed to this? What kind of helped push this change along?
Well, I'm a bad person to ask, because I feel like I default to always blaming the consumer, maybe unfairly, but I think we're trapped in a bit of a cycle, and it's probably no different than the other industry. But, you know, within food, I think there's a bit of a cycle between food television, cooking schools and restaurants, where they're feeding into each other and creating a market for each other. But we've gone this route in the last decade where we've kind of, in moving so much of our communication to social media, we've had to shorten everything. We've had to make everything image-based, and we've stripped our experiences and our work and our critical dialogue of a lot of thinking, and we've stripped it down to what's an image I can put on Instagram that's going to sell this idea. And often that comes down to the same type of mentality that once was the domain of carnival barkers, you know, which is a strategy of tricking people into something. You know, my wife and I went to a restaurant, and everyone in the restaurant was ordering this one dish because it was all over Instagram, and it seemed to be noodles stacked high with chopsticks seemingly floating in the air, a bit of a magic trick.
Right.
And of course we had to have that thing, because you got to have the thing you've seen on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Which turns out to be there's a little stick of potato underneath the noodles propping up, a classic like magician bit of stagecraft. And were they good? You know, you could take rather than me criticize that or tell you what I thought of the actual dish, what did it matter so much as what was the reason that we ordered that thing? How do we get hustled into that? And that's where I think we've gone with food.
And I know you had a great line in that article talking about how the lighting, and the lighting maybe in the washrooms that will give off a particular good lighting for a selfie is something that you know, may be important when deciding when to and where to dine.
Oh, sure. And you know, I wrote a feature recently about restaurant lighting design, and I talked, there's so much thought that goes into it. And the core component of that is making people feel more attractive, which I don't think is a trick so much as a thoughtful part of hospitality. But within that is now something people definitely didn't consider 10 or 20 years ago, which is like, you got to design part of the restaurant for selfies. And often that's the lighting in the bathroom.
That's wild. So how do we fix it then? We're the consumers, and I know you don't want to over blame the consumers, but I guess we have to, if we ruined it collectively, we have to fix it. How is that going to happen? Is there going to be a collective shift back away to, you know, suddenly realizing these things maybe don't matter? Do you see, is there any light at the end of the tunnel?
My one simple trick, or my one piece of advice for everyone, you know, when you're dining out, and this happens with my friends and I, as we say, what's a good new restaurant to go to? And we kind of, somebody suggests this place, this place, this place. And there's always this back and forth, well, why we are suspicious of this or suspicious of that. And the conversation has reverted back down to, let's drop the new part of that. What's good? Right. Rather than focusing on this obsession with newness, what have you been to? Because we really hobble ourselves from this. What have you been to that you know is great? Because you know what? That restaurant's probably still great. Try going back.
That's great advice. Corey, thanks. It was a great article. It's a great piece in the Globe and Mail. And a lot of the other criticisms I've often gone on to about social media in general, just never particular about food. And this obviously includes some of that, some great arguments made and some great points made. I thank you for sharing them with me here this morning.
Special guest host Jess Pickle, it was a delight speaking with you.
There you go. Same to you, Corey Mintz. Wow, once again, thanks for taking the time. All right, that was Corey Mintz, Globe and Mail, food columnist. Very interesting. And I think maybe that's a little bit, obviously, more kind of indicative of His market in Toronto, clearly there's more going on in the way of new restaurants and food and some of the, where are the elites eating and tricked by chopsticks propped up on a piece of potato surrounded by noodles. But we get that everywhere. We do get that everywhere. It just may not be quite as relevant here given the, just a smaller population size, smaller number of restaurants. But don't be tricked by going to what's new. Just stick to what's good. And just stop Instagramming your food. Don't do it. You don't need to do it. It's dumb. I'm just going to go right there and say it. It's my take. No one wants to see it. No one cares except for you. Don't take the picture. Okay. Once again, thank you for Corey for that. I appreciate that. Special guest host and special guest, Corey Mintz. Okay, we're going to, coming up just after the break, we're going to chat with Mark Douglas, our reporter, who is in Port Dover at this very instant. And I'm picturing right now Mark sitting on a Harley, riding it up and down the main drag there as he's watched. Hopefully he's brought some earplugs. That gets loud. Motorcycles are loud, never mind 100,000 of them. So maybe we can chat with him about that. We got to take a quick break, but we will be back with the Jennifer Campbell Show right after this.
The power, the energy from a crowd. It's unmistakable. The ones who feel it the most, the Kitchener Rangers.
Busting down the middle, he scores! Up and paddle!
The Kitchener Rangers play here. 570 News.
We are back with the Jennifer Campbell Show. What type of host am I again?
Now, special guest host, Jeff Pickle.
There it is. A special guest host. For only the next 14 minutes. And then starting next week, don't worry, Jennifer will be back. Some more great bumper music. Some saxophone through there. Paul, killing it today on a Friday, as always. Okay, right before the break, mention that it is Friday the 13th. And of course, that means anyone and everyone who owns a motorcycle will be heading down or is already in Port Dover for their annual, well, I guess not annual, whenever Friday the 13th happens. Festival going on down there, heard. Expected 100,000 potential bikes in Port Dover for the day. Our former 570 News afternoon anchor, current 680 reporter Mark Douglas is in Dover. Mark, thanks for taking the time to join me.
Hey, Jeff, no trouble. Always happy to join in. I heard you say earlier that maybe I'd get on one of these Harley Davidsons.
Yeah.
No.
No.
No. That's a good way to start a fist fight with bikers. So no, I'm not going to be doing that.
Well, I was assuming you would ask first, but yeah. But even then, I was just thinking it's you don't seem like the biker type, which is why I thought it was a particularly great assignment for you to head down there.
You know, I love coming down here. This is the second time I've been down to Port Dover to cover Friday the 13th, and this year is just as spectacular as the one time I was here before. I'm telling you, I'm on Main Street right now, Jeff, and I'm just seeing motorcycles and people from one horizon to the other. They're up and down Main Street. They're cruising. They're parked. Everybody's walking around, taking a look at everybody's tricked-out rides. This is just such a great community event, and everybody here is happy. It's all peaceful. You know, I was joking earlier about touch somebody's bike the wrong way, you got to get a fist fight. I don't think that would actually, well, yeah. But I think this would probably not happen. But this is just a peaceful event so far today, and a surprisingly low OPP presence here right on the street.
Yeah, and that's one of those things I know we talked about before when we were talking about some of the large unsanctioned street gatherings that happen in Waterloo, and this is not, a planned event. It's just become something that they've had to accept and turned into as best of an organized event that they can. You talked about numbers, I know, and the amount of bike. Is there any way you could put an estimate on the number of bikes you've seen?
Already, I'm going to say 3,000, literally, yeah. 3,000. I mean, I can see easily 1,000 bikes just looking to my right and looking to my left and watching them come up and down Main Street here.
And, you know, this is almost, this is getting on to 10 o'clock, and I've been here since 5, and the bikes were here before I got here. And we've still got so much more of this day to come. This is going to continue all day and into well into the evening. And because this is a summer Friday the 13th, and because the weather is just so perfect out here, I mean, it's just sunshine, humidity is not too bad. There's a bit of a light breeze coming off of Lake Erie here. We're so close to the water here. The turnout that they're going to get today is just going to be one of their best ever, I promise you.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the last couple, at least, that I seem to have talked about, it's never been, you know, in the middle of summer like this, it's never been great days. It's always been a little cold and a little rainy, and on a Friday nonetheless, right? So even more an excuse to kind of celebrate. I know you've tweeted out some pictures and some videos of some cool looking you know, tricked out bikes. What have you seen? Is there anything that's really caught your eye so far this morning?
Well, just basically a few wonderful paint jobs, just some nice skeleton skull and crossbone designs on some really fantastic Harley hogs. You know, in previous years, and I haven't seen anything this fancy this year, but when I've been here before, you know, I've seen not one but two motorcycle hearses that have been brought out on display. I haven't seen those today. I've been looking for them. I haven't seen them yet. They may come later in the day. But right now, you know, it's such a wide range. It's just standard, you know, from the factory motorcycles, people who just come out here to take part in the event. Otherwise, we got some real hardcore aficionados for the bikes. They've tricked out the bikes. They've done custom handles. They got those high riser hog bars for handlebars. They've got the paint job. You know what's really cool? Okay, some of the helmets even caught my eye. There was one woman here, and who was came in riding her bike with big pink tassels coming out the back, and I caught up with her later, asked what that was all about. She says it's really just for visibility, easier to see her on the road.
Yeah.
But just a great looking helmet. The gear, the leather vest, everything here is just a fantastic display of motorcycle culture here in Port Dover today.
And what's the noise like? I kind of, you know, mentioned it earlier because I get like, this is why I'm too soft to really be a biker, is I got really sensitive ears, and like bikes, when they come ripping down the street, like startle me and hurt my ears. Is it loud? Is it something that, you know, is noticeably just like a thundering roar, or how is the level noise levels down there?
When the bikes go by, Jeff, yeah, thunder is really the best way to describe it, especially the big hogs coming down with the tricked out engines. I mean, there have been times when I couldn't even hear myself talk. It's been so loud. Right now, here at this little part in Main Street, it's peaceful at the moment. Here's a couple of OPP going down on ATV vehicles, but when you get the lull in between the groups of bikes, they're coming down about 12, 15, 20 bikes strong. They all take turns touring down Main Street. You know, in between that, you know, you can have a conversation with people. You can talk about these motorcycles. You can talk about the lifestyle of biking and how great it is and what people love about it, where people are from. It's a friendly time. But when those bikes come down, oh, yeah, Jeff, the thunder, the roar, just wait. Just wait until the bikes go by. Then you can talk to people again.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. Sounds like a pretty incredible time down there. Then I know you mentioned the OPP and at least the visible presence there that you've seen so far has been low. And I saw an article a day or two previous talking about how for people going down for the Friday the 13th festivals, urging people not to buy, you know, outlaw biker apparel related gear because it kind of supports some of these outlaw motorcycle groups. Do you see that out there? Is there, you know, the one that people would recognize the most is, you know, Hell's Angels stuff for sale and some of that that, you know, potentially people buying that sort of thing in that area?
Yeah, I have seen some Hell's Angels t-shirts at some of the stands that are for sale here. Honestly, from the people I've seen walk around, it's the tourists who are buying those t-shirts. Anyone who's really heavy into bike culture isn't going to get caught up in traps like that. The tourists like that kind of thing, but in terms of like real hardcore criminal bike activity, I'm not seeing anything here here along Main Street in Port Dover today.
Yeah, well, that's good, and as always, I mean, it is one of those cool, just kind of organically grown events that have happened, and as you mentioned, such a beautiful day and a beautiful weekend ahead. It was a good assignment today for you, Mark.
I love it down here. I'll come down to Port Dover on any Friday the 13th, summer or winter.
That's good stuff. Mark, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
All good, Jeff. Have a great afternoon.
All right, you as well. Once again, Mark Douglas with former 570 News afternoon anchor, now reporting with our sister station 680, so we still get to hear Mark quite a bit. An excellent reporter and the perfect guy to be down there in Port Dover this afternoon and today, taking a look at that. I've never been. I want to do it. That would be cool. I know it's we've talked about it before, sending a reporter down to cover that, and it just hasn't worked out, but hopefully that's, you know, can be in the cards maybe coming up, because I'd love to see that and just take part of that, take part of the spectacle. Anytime, any of those big gatherings, those big group events, I love being down. I will admit I'm getting a little sick. I've covered St. Patrick's Day for about, well, every year that I've been here. I'm getting a little sick of that, to be honest with you, but I know I'm going to do it again. I am the, because I'm the tallest one here, so I can take the pictures above the crowd the best. I think that's why they send me. It's just purely a height thing. I take good pictures in big crowds, and they're not worried. The bosses here aren't worried about me getting lost or run over, because I can stick my head up above the crowd and get my elbows out and make my way through. But very cool, and Mark Douglas, thanks again for taking the time to join us. That just about does it for a week here on the Jennifer Campbell Show. It's been a fun time. It's been a fun time. Except for the time that I accidentally flipped the bird to our producers, and I apologize to that. We talked about that a few days ago on the show, and I've been, Paul, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but I've been trying to push my glasses back in my face. I've been doing it with my index finger now, not my middle finger, to not have that unfortunate situation happen again. Apparently. And you wouldn't know this unless you're on camera. I use my, to push my glasses back up onto my nose, I was using my middle finger to do so. It was just a natural way. And a screenshot happened to catch my hand on the way down. And you may think I'm lying about this and being sarcastic. Exactly what happened. A friend of mine took a picture of it and sent it in to me. And I was very concerned that I may be losing my job because of a profane gesture on air, but that's not the case. I'm still here. But Jennifer Campbell will be right back here come Monday morning, which is probably about right. It's probably good. Probably getting sick of me by now, so it's good. Just 1 week at a time. Just, you know, dot it in one or two times a year. That works for me.
Now, special guest host, Jeff Pickle.
Man, I love that big voice guy. What a job that guy has. It's been a pleasure. Paul, Harriet, James Sebastian Scott, thanks for all your help this week putting together some spectacular shows. Paul Harriet even filling in one day for James's job, put together a spectacular show there. I think, you know, I may be biased, but I think we hit it out of the park this week, fellas. I think we hit it out of the park. Carla Fitzsimmons back at Rogers TV. Thank you for making me look so good. Salute to you as well, James. All right, that's all the time we got. We got the Mike Farwell Show coming up. But for me, that's it. You have yourselves a great day.